After David was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king, he knew that one day he was set upon the throne in Israel. This was going to happen. However, what David did not know was how this would become a reality in his life. At the time Samuel revealed to David that God had chosen him to be the next king in Israel, he was just a shepherd boy. Just a shepherd boy working in the fields around Bethlehem. I'm sure that David then often wondered, as he sat on the hillside looking after the sheep, how will God fulfill his plan in my life? How will God so order my affairs that his will for me will be a reality? The Lord, of course, had a particular plan for David's life, and he eventually was crowned king in Israel. Yet the path that God led David, which brought him to the throne, was not a smooth one. God could have simply removed Saul at any stage. He could have ended Saul's life and directed the prophet Samuel to tell the people that David was now king. The Lord could have done this, and David could have ascended to the throne very quickly and very simply. But this was not what God did. Instead, David's ascension to the throne was a long and difficult process. From the time Samuel anointed David to be king until the time he reigned over all Israel, around 20 years had passed. And for most of those years, David was a fugitive in Israel, running for his life from King Saul. The path in which God brought David to the throne was not a smooth or straightforward one. Rather, it was filled with many difficulties and many challenges for David. Now, as we think of how David came to reign in Israel, we are reminded in all of this of the very nature of the Christian life. The process David went through from the time he was anointed to be king until he was crowned king in Israel very much pictures for us the life of the Christian in this world. When Samuel anointed David to be king, we are told in 1 Samuel 16 in the verse 13, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God's Spirit came upon David. Well, this is exactly what happens the moment a person looks to Christ by faith and becomes a Christian. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in their heart. And they are now destined for greatness, even to one day dwell in the courts of the King of Glory. This is the reality for every Christian. God's Spirit dwells in their hearts. And the day is coming where they will sit with Christ upon the throne of glory. Christ says in Revelation 3 in the verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The thought here is the Christian in heaven will share in Christ's glory. And this is why Christ speaks about them sitting on his throne with him. They will share in his glory. They will enter into his glory and they will reign with him. Believer, this is your future. This is what awaits you just beyond the veil of time. You will share in Christ's eternal glory and you will reign with him forever and ever and ever. And happiness and bliss. Whoever, just like David, had many struggles to face and burdens to bear. In between the time he was anointed to be king and the time he was actually crowned as king, so the Christian in between the time of their conversion and the time where they will be glorified and enter into heaven with Christ has also many challenges and many difficulties to contend with. This is the nature of the Christian life in this world. There are struggles. There are difficulties. And as we think of all the struggles that David went through in this period in his life, it does set before us. It is very typical of our struggles in this world until the day we will enter glory and reign forever with Christ. Yet we also need to remember that this time is coming. The time is coming when we will be brought into glory itself. This is the Christian's future. This is what is before the child of God. Just as it was with David, so it is with the Christian. Though we struggle in this life, though we have difficulties and problems in this life, the time is coming. And we will leave all of these struggles behind. And we shall be exalted to a position of great blessing and eternal joy. How important it is that we as believers never lose sight of this. Never lose sight of this. In all of David's struggles, he could look back to that time when Samuel anointed him to be king, and he could know that God had lift him up to the throne. That was going to happen. That was the truth of the matter. But in between that, even through all the difficulties of the challenges that he faced, so it is for the Christian yet in this world. As we then come to God's word today, we're coming to consider the beginning of this difficult period in David's life. Between his anointing to be king and the time when he actually was crowned as king in Israel. The main reason why David endured such trouble at this time was because of the jealousy of Saul. The jealousy of King Saul. David became the victim of Saul's wicked jealousy. And this is what is brought before us in verses 5 to 11 here in 1 Samuel 18. These verses we have just read. I want us then to focus on this passage today and to simply consider the subject, Saul's jealousy. Saul's jealousy. The sin of jealousy is the most wicked and the most destructive sin. And this is something that we're clearly brought to see in the life of Saul. As we see his jealousy here, we are warned about this sin. We are warned about this problem that can also affect our lives and bring much trouble upon us. Notice then with me a number of things in these verses about Saul's jealousy. In the first place, I want us to consider the reason for Saul's jealousy. The reason for it. Although the word jealous is not actually found in this passage, there's no doubt about it that Saul was filled with jealousy. In verse 8 we read, and Saul was very wroth. Now the word wroth here could also be translated jealous. And so we could read this verse, Saul was very jealous. Very jealous. In verse 9 it speaks of how Saul eyed David from that day and forward. This word eyed literally means to watch with jealousy. To watch with a jealous eye. Jealousy then is very much in view here. And it was the great sin that Saul fell into at this time. Now we should note that in Scripture there are two types of jealousy. There are two types of jealousy. There is an evil jealousy and there is a righteous jealousy found in God's word. The word jealous itself means to be hot or zealous. But we can be zealous both for that which is wrong and also for that which is right. If we think of David as he witnessed Goliath blaspheming the Lord and mocking God's people, he was filled with a holy zeal or a holy jealousy for God's honour. As David witnessed what Goliath was doing, a holy zeal or a holy jealousy burned in his heart. He became hot in his soul. And this is why he asked the question to the soldiers in Israel, is there not a cause? He was turning to his colleagues there. He was turning to the men in the camp and saying, listen, is there not a cause? Do you not see what Goliath is doing? Do you not see how he's mocking God? God's honor is at stake here. And you can feel the earnestness in his question. Is there not a cause? He was jealous for God's testimony, jealous for God's honour. This was a righteous jealousy. The Apostle Paul said to the believers in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul was saying to these believers, you're Christ's bride. You belong to him. Therefore, I am jealous over you for Christ's sake. With a godly jealousy. I want you to live lives of faithfulness to him. To honor Christ. He was jealous for Christ's honor in regard to these people. They belonged to Christ. They were his bride. He wanted them to behave in a faithful manner. In regard to Christ. There is then a righteous jealousy. When we are zealous for that which is holy. And that which is good. And we see this in Scripture. But then there's also an evil jealousy. An evil jealousy. To be jealous in an evil and sinful way involves being envious towards others. And covetous in heart. It involves zealously desiring that which God has not given us. And is not ours. The 10th commandment condemns the sin of jealousy as it speaks of covetousness. Covetousness and jealousy are very close. In fact, they really cannot be separated. The person who is jealous is covetous. And the covetous person is jealous. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. This then is the nature of sinful jealousy. It is to be covetous and envious in heart and in life. And as we think of the evil jealousy that filled Saul's heart, we can say there were two main reasons why this man was so overcome with jealousy. Two reasons for this jealousy. Notice here, Saul was jealous because of his servant's success. Because of his servant's success. After David's great victory over Goliath, Saul took David into his army. And he not only took David into his army, he made David captain over the men of war. Put him really in charge of the army. Verse 5 tells us this. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. David then became Saul's servant at this time. And everything seemed to be going so well here. He was in charge of the men of war. We read here of how Saul's servants accepted him and the people accepted him. Things were just going swimmingly. It was fantastic. Such a champion David was. Such a great captain over the men of war. However, after David had led the soldiers in Israel to a number of victories, he began to receive more praise and more admiration than Saul was receiving. People were singing his praises to a greater degree than they were singing Saul's. Read of this in verses 6 and 7. It came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David has 10,000s. Saul then heard the women in Israel were ascribing greater honor to David than to him. He was greatly displeased. We are told in verses 8 and 9, and Saul was very wroth. As we've already noted, Saul was very jealous. And the sign displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, unto me they have ascribed but thousands. What can I have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Saul then was filled with jealousy because of the success of his servant. Because God had blessed David and given to him great victories on the battlefield. King Saul's displeasure towards David and his dislike for him arose because he was envious of David's success and David's popularity. Now this is the terrible reality of jealousy. It often arises in the heart because of the perceived success and the perceived prosperity of others. We see the success of others. We see how well they're doing. And we covet that. We want that. And as we see how well they're doing and how successful they are, we become resentful and bitter towards them. This is often how jealousy sprouts up in the heart. Saul was jealous of David's success in the battlefield. But there are many things that can cause the sin of jealousy to spring up in our hearts. We can be jealous of the property of others, what they actually own. We see their home, we see perhaps the car they have. And we look upon them and we become envious at their property. Things that they have, how they've been blessed in this way. We can be jealous of the prosperity of others, how they've been successful in different areas in life. Maybe in school life they've done well, or in work life they've done well. And they've really prospered. And they've made money. And that annoys you. That even displeases you. We can be jealous of the possession of others. The possession they hold. And this can even happen within the church. Someone gets a possession. And you're annoyed at that. It displeases you. And you think, I would want that position for myself. And there's jealousy. They can be jealous, of course, of popularity, the popularity of others. Others that seem very popular. And they've got many friends. and the very popular personality. Life just seems so easy for them. And we can be resentful to that. Truth is this. Jealousy is a great danger. Because it can find many ways. Find a multitude of ways to enter into our hearts. That's the point I'm trying to make. It can find many ways to enter into our hearts. And this is why we need to guard against this sin. Because it can come at us from every angle. Before we know it, we're jealous because of the success of someone else. Saul was jealous because of the servant's success. But notice also here, Saul was jealous because of his sinful state. He was jealous because of his sinful state. This, of course, was the primary reason why Saul was jealous of David. Because of the sinful state of his own heart. He did not want to hear the women in Israel singing David's praises because he was proud. Because he was a self-centered man. He wanted to be the center of attention. And he wanted to be admired above all else. Saul was not content to be below David and the adulation and admiration of the people in Israel. In his proud and sinful heart, he could not be happy unless he was number one. This jealousy arose because of the sinful state of his own heart. That's why it arose. Because of the sinful state. This was the primary reason. Because of the sinful state of his own heart. Now maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not like Saul. I have no interest in being number one. In fact, I have no interest in being popular. I'm happy just to live a quiet life without the attention of anyone and focused upon me. I'm happy to be in the background. And that might well be the case. However, jealousy can still be found in our hearts. You see, if we are discontent and unhappy with the portion that, and the lot God has given to us in life, if we are not thankful for what we have, if we're not thankful for what we have and are focused on the things that others have, we have fallen into the sin of jealousy. Fallen into the sin of jealousy. An example of this is seen in Ahab, King Ahab, desiring Naboth's vineyard. I'm sure you know that story well. Naboth had a wonderful vineyard, and one day Ahab spied it. And though Ahab was a rich man, though he had many things, though he had many vineyards of his own, he wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he coveted it. And he came to Naboth and he offered him money for it, or he offered him an exchange. But Naboth wasn't for selling. And so Ahab went home and he wouldn't eat. He was miserable because he wasn't thankful for what he had. He was jealous of that which someone else had. He was jealous of that which someone else had. He was unthankful. Unthankful. And even though he was a rich man, even though he was way above Naboth in many, many ways, yet he was still jealous of the smaller man because of this old thing he had. He was unthankful in his heart. You see, unthankfulness in the heart is a sin. It's to live in a sinful state. When we're unthankful with the portion that God has given to us, we're unthankful with the lot that God has put into our hands. We're discontent. That is the sin. And unthankfulness in the heart is fertile soil for the weed of jealousy to grow in. That's where it will grow. When we are living in a state of unthankfulness towards God. The reason for Saul's jealousy was the success of his servant, David's success. But it was also because of the sinful state of his own heart. He was a proud man, a self-centered man, an unthankful man. And therefore he fell into this terrible sin of jealousy. Jealousy towards David. To then guard against this sin, this dangerous sin, we need to rejoice in the success of others. And this is what we need to do as God's people. When we see our neighbor doing well, when we see others prospering, and that could be others in the church, that could be our neighbor, and what they have, their business or their farm, or something else someone else has, we should rejoice in their success. That's how we should behave towards them. And we also should be thankful with the lot that God has given to us. Every day, thank God. He's given to us our daily provision. This is how we guard against falling into this snare, the snare of jealousy. And so we have the reason for Saul's jealousy here, the reason for it. But then I also want us to note today the rage in Saul's jealousy. The rage. This is something that is clearly brought before us in verses 10 and 11. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. David avoided out of his presence twice. The jealous spirit that was building up in Saul's heart now spills over. And spills over and corrupts his behavior. And in a fit of rage, he throws a javelin at David and tries to kill him. What we witness here in the life of Saul is the downward spiral of the sin of jealousy. Jealous and angry thoughts soon develop into jealous and angry action. And this is often what happens. This is why when envious and jealous thoughts spring up in our hearts and minds, we must give them no space to grow and develop. Instead, we need to root them out. Root them out and show them no mercy. This is a truth that is brought before us in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 12 and the verses 14 and 15, this is what it says. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, at least any man, fail of the grace of God. And then notice these words. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Root of bitterness spring up, and we be defiled. We need to look diligently to ourselves. We need to look diligently. What Paul is saying here is, we need to be careful about this matter. Careful about a root of bitterness. Not speaking of a jealousy. Envy. Sin in our hearts. We need to be careful with this. Because if this root of bitterness isn't plucked up and rooted out, it will spring up and bring great defilement into our lives. Saul let a root of jealous bitterness spring up in his soul. And the result was, he now exploded into a fit of rage against David. He tried to kill him with his javelin. As we then think of the jealous rage that now manifested itself in Saul's life, there are a number of things that I want us to note here about this rage. You see in these verses, the senselessness of Saul's rage. How senseless it was. As Saul cast a javelin at David, his behavior was completely foolish. And senseless in every way. It was senseless because David was the best servant Saul ever had. David was the best servant that Saul ever had. Through David, Saul enjoyed peace. As David played the harp, Saul's troubled mind was brought peace and comfort. None of the rest of the servants that Saul had brought this peace to him. But David did. Through David, Saul not only enjoyed peace, but he enjoyed prosperity. David had slain the greatest enemy that Israel had, Goliath. And he had driven the Philistines out of the land. And at this very stage, Israel were at a time of prosperity. Their enemies were being thrown over and defeated. And it was David that was leading this. Through David, Saul knew peace, he knew prosperity. He also knew protection. David was a man who continually protected Saul in his life. Remember those two times where Saul was put into David's hands? And Saul's servant said, listen, David's servant said, listen, God has brought Saul to you and he's put him into your hands. Now slay him right away. Put him to death. And David wouldn't. He wouldn't destroy Saul. He protected his life. This was David. He was the greatest servant, the best servant, the most faithful servant that Saul ever had. Therefore, Saul's jealousy against David was completely senseless. Completely foolish. This was foolish behavior of the highest order. Again, here's another area or another reason why we need to pluck up the weed of jealousy out of our hearts as soon as it appears. Because if we let it grow, if we let jealousy grow in our lives, it will produce the most foolish and senseless behavior. It will. This is something that I've witnessed in the lives of others. People become jealous. And it's not long before they're behaving in the most foolish manner. In a senseless manner. This happened to Saul. In fact, Saul actually came to the point in his life where he confessed to David. He confessed, "I have played the fool. I have played the fool." And this is what Saul said about himself as he considered how jealous he was of David. "I played the fool." And this is where jealousy will bring us to. This is why we need to turn away from it and pluck it up. There was the senselessness of Saul's jealous rage. Notice also there was the sinfulness of Saul's jealous rage. As Saul cast his javelin at David, declared his intention to smite David to the wall with it, we witnessed the hatred and murderous intent that was in his heart. This is the sinfulness of jealousy. It fills the heart with hatred, even with murder, murderous thoughts, and desires, and even actions. There are many examples of this in the Bible. Many examples of how jealousy leads to murder. Think of Cain and Abel. Cain slew his brother Abel. Why? Because he was jealous. God accepted Abel's offering and did not accept his. And in a fit of jealous rage, he murdered his brother. Think also of Joseph's brothers. Joseph's brothers had every intention of killing Joseph. Of course, in the providence of God, he was sold to Egypt. But they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to put him to death. Why? Because they were jealous. Jealous of how God had spoken to Joseph, revealing dreams to him. Jealous of how his father treated him, giving him a coat of many colors. What a serious problem the sin of jealousy is. Instead of loving our neighbor as ourselves, jealousy moves us to loathe our neighbor and want to do them evil. This is where jealousy will take us. Take us to that place where we want to do evil to others. This is what we desire to engage in. We see this with Saul. We see this with Saul. And remember who David was to Saul. He was the hero. He was the man that brought such blessings into Saul's life. But when jealousy took hold, he wanted to kill him. We should also note jealousy is the mother of sins. It's the mother of many sins. In other words, jealousy is never a sin that is found alone. Never alone. But it always produces other sins in the life of the individual. And again, we see this with Saul. His jealousy led to hatred. It led to lies. It led to murder. And many other evils. Many other evils. Once more, let me emphasize it. Here is a sin that needs to be dealt with, needs to be crushed before it finds its feet in our lives. It needs to be put down. Because if it is not put down, if this sin is nourished, if it is held on to, a world of iniquity will come into our lives. It will come into our lives. If we sow to the wind in regard to jealousy, make no mistake about it, we will reap the whirlwind. The sinfulness of Saul's jealous rage, as well as the senselessness of Saul's jealous rage. But then notice here as well, the sadness of Saul's jealous rage. See in this passage, when it was that Saul cast the javelin at David. When it actually was that Saul took his opportunity to cast the javelin at David. It was as David was ministering to him on the harp. As David was playing for him. Now, previously we noted that as David played the harp to Saul, Saul's mind was troubled. He was not just playing light-hearted and cheery tunes, but he was ministering God's word to Saul. And that's what David was doing. He wasn't just coming and playing some uplifting and light-hearted tunes to lighten Saul's mood. No, David was actually ministering God's word to Saul as he played the harp here. And this is clearly deduced from Scripture, because David's music, as we see in the book of Psalms, was filled with the truth of God. He played concerning the truth of God. This is why David's playing brought peace to Saul's troubled mind, because he brought the truth of God to Saul. Whoever is Saul's heart is now filled with jealousy. As Saul is now overcome with jealousy, David's ministering the harp was no longer of any benefit or any blessing to him. It didn't bring comfort to his troubled mind. And we know this because Saul casts the javelin at David while David was seeking to minister to him in the harp. Even while David was playing for him. Even while David was bringing to him God's word by this means. Saul lifts the javelin. And his intention is to kill David with it. Smite him right to the wall. Therefore, what we learn here is jealousy in the heart is a barrier that hinders us from benefiting from God's word. Jealousy in the heart. When we have jealousy in our hearts, it will be a barrier to us hindering us from benefiting from God's word. The person who is filled with jealousy, yes, they can hear the sweet truth of God's word. But that word does not bring comfort and blessing to their hearts and lives. Think of that. Saul was not impacted now by David's ministry. Jealousy hindered him from benefiting. And this is the problem with the sin of jealousy. If there's jealousy in your heart today, the preaching of God's word will make no impact upon you until that sin is dealt with. Until that sin is repented of. Think of that. That's a sad state in which to live. The God of heaven can speak to you through his word. Yet there's no change. Because jealousy is found in your heart. What a sad position. This was the rage in Saul's jealousy. It was senseless. It was sinful. But it was also sad. One last thing I want us to note here in God's word. Not only the reason for Saul's jealousy and the rage in Saul's jealousy, but the ruin of Saul's jealousy. Jealousy really was the terrible sin that ruined Saul's life and brought his reign as king to a disastrous end. I know that Saul had done other sinful things before he developed this jealousy towards David. He disobeyed God and behaved in a most foolish way. But there's no doubt that jealousy was the cancer. Jealousy was the cancer that destroyed Saul's life. From this point, Saul spent the rest of his days vainly fighting against God and planning David's destruction. And as he did so, he lived a most miserable and a most unhappy life, completely eaten up with jealousy. Just think for a moment, if Saul had not been jealous of David, if he had not taken this path of self-harm and ruin, what a happy, what a prosperous time he could have had as king with David at his side, with David as his general. This could have been a time of prosperity, a time of growth for Israel as a nation. With the wise and godly David leading Saul's army, all of Israel's enemies might well have been driven out. And great peace would have filled the land. Saul then could have ended his days as king in a successful manner. With David at his side. Yet the sin of jealousy took all this from Saul. Took it all from him. Jealousy in Saul's heart led to his life ending in ruin and misery. And all that we read about Saul from this time forth is sad and miserable and unhappy. This is why we should fear jealousy. This is why we should fear jealousy and not feed it in our hearts. Because the poison of jealousy will not only hurt others and harm others, but it will also destroy our lives. It will destroy our lives. Saul's a warning to us here. If you hold on to jealousy, if you let jealousy grow up within your own heart and soul, it will destroy your life. This is God's word to us today. This is God's word to us today. Therefore, Christian, if the poison of jealousy is found in your heart, if it is found in your heart, this is what you must do. You must recognize, first of all, that you have a problem. You have a big problem. And often people who are jealous, this is the first mistake they make. They don't realize the problem they have. They fail to grasp the significance of the serious condition in which they're found. If you're jealous and resentful or envious of others, whether that's in the church or outside the church, you have a problem. And you need to face that reality, a serious problem. Saul had a problem. Well, if you're jealous in heart, you have a problem. This must be recognized. And the second thing you must do is you must confess that problem to Christ. You must take your jealousy to Christ and own it in His presence. And with repentance in heart, ask for forgiveness and cleansing through Christ's blood. This is the only way any sin can be dealt with in our lives. We must take it to our Savior. We must take it to the one who is able to forgive sin and deal with sin. And if God has put His finger in your heart today and exposed jealousy, this is what you need to do. Go to Christ with it. Then you must seek for the enabling power of God's Spirit to know victory over that jealousy. You cannot overcome jealousy in your own strength. That is a big mistake. That's a big mistake. You can't deal with any sin in your own strength. That's a big mistake. The only way that you can actually overcome any sin in your life is by the power of God's Spirit. And so you need to ask for that enabling power to give you victory and strength to overcome that sin and to root it out of your heart. Oh, don't take the path Saul took in life. Don't let jealousy, don't let the sin of jealousy reign and ruin your life. But no deliverance. No deliverance from this sin. By looking to Christ, Christ is able to give us a victory over this sin and over all sin. Therefore, as we consider Saul here, let us consider our own hearts. And let us go to Christ, the one who is able to deliver, the one who is able to give us victory over every sin, even the sin of jealousy. I trust God will bless His word to our hearts today for His own name's sake. Amen. And amen.